Money itself doesn't have a value, right? But it's like a blood. So today we have a cancer in our blood system, and this is destroying our economy and society.
You're listening to The Corbett Report.
Welcome, friends. James Corbett here in the sunny climes of Western Japan in August 2016. It is sunny, so it's Japanese Hat Day today on The Corbett Report. If you're not watching the video version of this interview, you should be, if only for the funky Japanese hats, because I'm not here by myself. I am joined by a real live flesh and blood human being for a change, rather than a Skype entity. Today we're talking to Ken Shishido. Ken.
Hi, thank you for having me on, James.
It's great to have you on, and it's great to have you on because if you're watching The Corbett Report, I'd like to think it's because you don't just want to hear people talk about problems, you want to hear about solutions. And, well, we're going to talk about one solution in the monetary realm today. We're going to be talking about the subject of this t-shirt. I'm sure many in the audience will recognize the Bitcoin symbol, but let's talk a little bit about Bitcoin and Tokyo and Tokyo Bitcoin. Ken Shishido is the founder of the Tokyo Bitcoin
Meetup? Organizer for Tokyo Bitcoin Meetup Group. And I have, we just had the 200th meetup, which is the longest streak of meetups in the world.
And it's a weekly meetup, is
weekly
that right?
Weekly meetup. We originally founded by one and only Roger Ver, Bitcoin evangelist. He's based in Tokyo and was founded July 2011, which is second oldest meetup group after Silicon Valley Group.
Second oldest meetup group ever or Bitcoin meetup group?
Second oldest Bitcoin meetup group, right.
So what kind of things do you do on a weekly basis?
It's a casual gathering. So we will just, talk about exchange information about Bitcoin and some of us founded Bitcoin companies. But basically, casual gathering.
Well, I will throw some of the footage from some of your gatherings on the screen. Some interesting ones involving burlesque dancers, even. It's an interesting group. And I hope I can come out and join you guys sometime when I actually get out of my home city and over to Tokyo.
Yeah.
Increasingly difficult for a stay-at-home dad. But let's talk a little bit about your story. Why Bitcoin?
Okay. How I got Bitcoin goes back to actually around about 2004 and 5. I was working at a phone company responsible for corporate accounts. And my customers are Lehman Brothers, Goldman Sachs, all that kind of mega financial institutions. Then I was visiting their Tokyo headquarters in premier locations, right? Now, at that time, I started wondering how come this wealth is so flowing into financial institutions like them, where they don't actually produce anything, they don't create anything, and yet their CEO makes like 100 times more than Toyota CEO. So I started studying about monetary history and following Robert Kiyosaki, Mike Maloney, Jim Rogers, thinking about what money is. Then at the same time, start learning Austrian economics, that kind of things. Then I realized this, the root cause of this craziness in the world is to do with the monetary system. Money itself doesn't have a value, right? But it's like a blood. So today we have a cancer in our blood system, and this is destroying our economy and society. So that kind of background, then I started following Trace Mayer, Jeff Berwick. As some of you know, you know that some of the very early Bitcoin adopters come from what we call as gold camp or silver camp, the honest money camp, right? So I started buying some physical gold and silver. Then I came to, some of us came to learn about, I learned about Bitcoin in 2011. Then I met Roger Ver, I think in early 2014, and Roger is traveling around the world by now, by then, so I took over domestic group activity from 2014. So that is how I got to into Bitcoin. But before that, in 2012, I tried to run for a lower house Congress, advocating sound money, then representing either District 3 Hiroshima or District 5 Tokyo, representing those areas. But then I pitched the sound money, importance of sound money to the party leaders, but they didn't get it. So I didn't get the official nomination. So I thought that, you know, changing things, making the world a better place from politics is not possible, right? So rather than that, Bitcoin is more fun, and there are things that are great things you can do with Bitcoin. So I started focusing on Bitcoin full time now.
It's interesting. We all have to go through our political period and then grow up and realize, no, it's about things we can actually do for ourselves. Yeah, yeah. Bitcoin being an example of that. So you brought some interesting things to show the audience today.
That's right.
About monetary history. That's... Why don't you talk us through what you've got in your little bag here?
Okay. So one example, I carry this to Bitcoin meetups, and I show these silver coins. One is $1 silver coin, mm-hmm. and one is 1 yen silver coin.
They look almost identical. Why is that?
Because it was equal weight and size in early 1900, when Japan started trading with Western powers. After Edo period, the Shogun, the Samurai period, in order to do the fair trade, the currency must be the same, right? I mean,
a standard weight and measure.
Right, standard weight to measure. So therefore, we made 1 yen equal to $1.
And yeah, I imagine there are people in the audience who don't know what a silver dollar looks like or why it was called a silver dollar. But yes, an ounce of silver used to be a dollar, and an ounce of silver used to be 1 yen. Now, today, how much is 1 ounce of silver worth?
It's around about $20. But this 1 yen, due to antique value of 1 yen silver, this is going selling at 8,000 yen, which is about $8. So $80.
Right. So if you were holding a 1 yen in, you know, 100 years ago, that would be worth 1/8,000th of what it is today.
That's right. So that's 1/8,000th devaluation of the purchasing power, right? So it's kind of telling.
It's very telling. And this is not the only example. You have some other examples of pieces of paper. These are actual coins which actually retain their value even after the devaluation. But there are some other things you've got in your bag, Oogadies.
Yeah. So the other thing that your audience could be familiar is this is 1924 $20 gold coin, which is going for at around $1,500 today. Then I have early 1910 yen in gold, which is selling at around about $800 today. But with 10 yen is like 10 cents. You cannot buy anything with 10 yen, but with $800, you can it's a lot more purchasing power than 10 yen.
Considerably more, yes, yes. So once again, devaluation creates a situation where if you're holding on to these tokens given out by the government and just holding on to them, they're going to be very worthless in 30, 50, 100 years, whatever the time frame is on that devaluation.
So, so gold and silver coins are good investments. It holds the purchasing power for a long time. But when you look at Bitcoin, Satoshi said, quote, in his introduction of Bitcoin paper, Satoshi said, quote, the central bank must be trusted not to debase the currency, but the history of fiat currency is full of breaches of that trust. So this is end quote. So this is what Satoshi Nakamoto, Bitcoin creator, wrote in his introduction paper. So Bitcoin does have the similar property to silver and gold.
Now, something that the audience might not realize is that you are an exceptionally, incredibly rich man, that you have $100 trillion. And in fact, you brought your $100 trillion to show us today, didn't you?
What do you mean? $100?
No. Don't you have a trillion?
Yes.
Show us what $100 trillion looks like. Here it is.
So this is infamous Zimbabwe $100 trillion note. And I'm sure many of your audience are familiar. And actually, the print quality is pretty good because it's printed by a German factory.
For $100 trillion, I would expect a pretty nicely printed note.
But not many people have seen is this $10 Zimbabwe silver coins. This is going at like, you know, at least monetary silver value is $20, but the premium would be much more.
Right.
But it keeps its purchasing power.
Yes.
Although it's 10 Zimbabwe dollars.
Right. Which I don't know what that's worth now. How much is a $100 trillion note worth now?
This has been completely, there is a denomination, so this paper does not have any value at all. So
there you go. Go from 100 trillion to nothing, just like that. Well, it is basically toilet paper, and it's not worth the money that it's printed on, which is, I mean, that's a sign of something. So what is the answer to this? If we keep getting these tokens, these meaningless pieces of paper or tokens from government, that are constantly being devalued because governments love to print more and more and more and more until they're worth nothing, what's the answer?
Well, ultimately, we are seeing hyperinflation in places like Venezuela or other places. But the history of fiat money has, all the money, paper money has gone to zero. So it is inevitable that, you know, that our current paper system is going to end, come to an end.
That's right. Every single paper currency ever has gone to zero at some point. It's just a matter of when. And one can envision that happening fairly rapidly, given the state that we're in today. So how does Bitcoin circumvent this problem?
Bitcoin is still Bitcoin is still development phase, so it is not so easy to securely hold Bitcoin for average investors. But you know, buying some Bitcoins and understand play with it, it would be a good start. Then if you feel comfortable, then maybe you buy a few hundred dollars worth of Bitcoins or $1,000 worth of Bitcoin, whatever you are afford to lose, and that would be the good way to start.
I would agree. I mean, you start out with a small amount, so you figure out how to use it and what you can use it for, and then you increase from there as you feel comfortable and as you start to learn about it. And I assume when you go to a meetup group like the Tokyo Bitcoin Meetup, if you are new, you can start to find out about paper wallets and ways to secure your Bitcoin.
Correct. So, opportunities are always in front of us, and it's up to you to take your action. And I have come to conclude after all these years that I cannot change anybody, only I can change myself. So just learn a bit more about Bitcoin and you start playing with it.
I think that's the point, and I certainly don't sit here saying this is the answer that everyone must get into and put their entire life savings in it, but I say it is an answer. It is a way forward, and it is something that people can be doing rather than twiddling their thumbs waiting for their paper money to turn into toilet paper. So a lot we could be talking about, a lot more to talk about, and there's a lot happening in Japan on the Bitcoin front, a lot of interesting work and people here, but just tell people again where they can go to find out more about Tokyo Bitcoin Meetup or Bitcoin in general.
Okay. If you are in Tokyo, if you have the chance to come to Tokyo, search Tokyo Bitcoin Meetup group, then you will find our weekly meetup on Thursday nights.
And how about for you personally? Do you have Twitter or ways people can connect?
If you Ken Shishido at Twitter, and I don't have a website.
All right, we'll leave it there. Of course, all the links will be in the show notes as always, so you can find out more. And I think we're going to leave it there. The sun is probably going to burn me alive anyway, so we better get out of here before I turn into a pumpkin. That's going to do it for today. Thank you guys for watching. Links in the show notes. Talk to you again soon.
Thank you, James.